Hi, I'm Matthew Viriapa with KOSU. Comedian Hari Kondabolu is coming to Oklahoma City March 12th. This will be the first time he's performed in Oklahoma. He's been described by the New York Times as one of the most exciting political comics in stand-up today, but recently he's been getting more personal with his comedy. I spoke with him over Skype, so hear him talk about why, his ongoing criticism of the U.S. Census, and more. Where are you right now?
Brooklyn, New York, in my apartment.
When do you start heading out on the road?
The first show would be March 10th in Indianapolis. Then the 11th is Cincinnati, and then I head to Oklahoma City on the 12th. To me, it's important to be able to play more of the country, and you know, Oklahoma is one of the few states I haven't done, and I really wanted to play there. Plus, I kept getting messages from Tulsa and Oklahoma City that people can't keep driving to Dallas to see me, that they would like it if I actually showed up.
You excited to be touring out on the road as a comedian as the country is kind of like in the midst of all this political stuff?
I don't know if that's why I'm excited to perform and go to different cities, and certainly like this country is so much more complicated than I ever thought it was, that the more I travel, the more I learn about people and the place that I actually am from. So it's that aspect of it certainly is exciting and fascinating, and it always has been. But I don't know if this election alone is the reason why I'm super excited. I try not to let what's happening outside of me dictate what I want to talk about exactly. You know, certainly like it influences, you know, what I talk about. But, you know, I've gotten more personal. I've talked about family more. And when I do that, it's not because I'm thinking, oh, let me write softer stuff because it's a really, you know, divisive political climate, and so I have to stay away from it. It's for me, it's like, well, no, I just think it's interesting and a challenge for me to get more personal because so much of my work in the past has been about these big issues, but I don't put myself and the context I come in into the discussion.
Do you feel like if you were like the comedian you were in like the previous years, you wouldn't feel like this inclination to like talk about more personal stuff? Is it like a maturing thing that you're going through right now? Or
I definitely think that as I've become more confident on stage and as I've become more confident with myself as an adult, I'm not so afraid to put stuff out there and, you know, risk people judging me. I think I was worried more about that before. Like there's something about being judged for your political opinions or your ideas. That's fine. You know, like we're going to disagree, but when it's personal, it becomes a little more painful. And in the past, I wanted to stay away from that. And now it's like, well, that's a key part of who I am. For a lot of people, it gives them a context about, oh, this is why he's saying what he's saying. He comes from this place. Like it's easier to hear opinions you might not agree with from a friend because you know where the friend's coming from. You love the friend. You respect the friend, as opposed to some stranger yelling at you. And I think, you know, one thing that's useful is at least when I share myself with people and then I share maybe some of the more harsh points of view they might not agree with, they're at least willing to listen because I like this guy. I get where he's coming from more than I did in the beginning of the set. I think the best artists are the ones that are able to share parts of themselves that most people couldn't. And that's why, you know, whether it's talking about relationships or children or family and death, I'd rather put myself out there than not.
Oh, one of your last comedy specials was called, I think, Waiting for 2042.
Why do I have to keep hearing about this? This number is not important to me. Are there white people in this country?
You excited to hear what the census finds out after this year?
Well, I call it Waiting for 2042 because that's the year that, you know, some of the census numbers said at some point that white people will be the minority in this country. But, you know, a big part of that routine that I did was how race is this made up thing. So it's fearing something that doesn't really exist, because if you're going to say that, you know, 51% or 49% is white, you're saying 51% is all the same. And to me, it's like, you know, that 51% is a very complicated group of humanity, as is the 49% that's white. And the way we talk about census figures and the way it's construed, it's very much us versus them. And I hate that. It says a lot that we broadcast those numbers constantly and that we fear those statistics. And so much of this last election, you know, people talked about their fear of demographic shifts, the fear of them being outnumbered. Well, that comes from somewhere. That comes from the media constantly feeding this idea that, you know, whites will be the minority, because that's reinforcing this idea that white is a thing and that race is a thing and that these are the boxes we fit in and this is what you have to look out for. There's the difference between a statistic existing and it being widely reported constantly. You know, it almost feels like when they report census numbers and like the increase of people of color, it almost feels like they're reporting about coronavirus. It's the same kind of feeling, the idea that like, you know, this outbreak is happening and, you know, you're going to be cornered and you have to prepare. It has that same weird level of intensity, and I don't like that.
Do you feel like a time is on the horizon when your other comedy album, Mainstream American Comic, isn't like a kind of tongue-in-cheek title?
I feel like we're getting closer to it. I think when you have so many people of color in the mainstream now, more than ever before, and that their experiences are seen as American experiences and part of the larger discussion about, you know, growing up and living in this country, I think that normalizes our lives and it makes the idea that, you know, I am somehow this mainstream figure seem less ridiculous, right? If anything, the flag jacket I'm wearing on the cover is ridiculous, and that will stay ridiculous, I think, throughout the ages. But, you know, I don't know what it's like to grow up as a kid in this generation, but I do know that there's more figures for young South Asians than ever before. And for other, I think, minority groups, you know, if you flip through the channels and you go on Disney Channel, it's like, oh my God, this is the most multicultural group of kids. And somehow the show is not based in New York City, which is strange. But it's kind of this incredible, like, oh, okay, like we're actually being seen as valid. Like the first step seemed to be being included in the stories of others. And now, you know, whether it's like Kumail and Emily's show Little America or all these other projects that are coming out, like we're able to tell our own stories. And I think that's really fascinating and exciting.
I guess what's next for you?
Well, I'm excited to do more stand up and work on this next hour. I'm really excited about this show in Oklahoma City. Like, you know, to me, I want to play cities and areas that I haven't played before. And as comfortable as it is for me to play the coast and play Chicago and Minneapolis and Austin, I think it's really valuable for me to be able to go to different places and, you know, perform for people who either have waited for me to perform for a long time or, you know, had never heard of me and are hearing a new point of view. And, you know, I've been really enjoying that. You know, I've been doing a lot of that the last couple of years, going to places I didn't think I would be going in the beginning of my career and really enjoying the experience of seeing how complicated this country is and meeting so many different people and seeing how much we do have in common. So I want to continue that. And I'm really excited about Oklahoma City and I'm excited to continue that path.
How much do you know about Oklahoma?
I mean, I don't know that much about Oklahoma. I'll be perfectly honest. Twisters are things, aren't they? Don't you all have?
Yeah.
Twisters, that's the thing. There's a musical called Oklahoma. I know the college football is very big. Yeah. I know that Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook are painful memories of a Thunder era that never happened and should have. Don't know if I'll bring that up, but that's out there.
Yeah, I don't know how sensitive it is still for like some people. Like if it's still like a traumatic thing.
I'll be honest, if it hits a nerve, I'm more likely to play around it and see what happens out of curiosity. Yeah.
Thanks for taking the time out to speak with me today.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Harry Kondabolu is performing at the Paramount Room March 12th. You